You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, straight up 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. And what the hell am I doing here? Well, we'll explain. Alan Odd, no Bart Scott. He was on this morning if you weren't paying attention. We like to keep you guessing around here. Just understand that. This is what we do. We want to keep you guessing. You turn on the radio, you don't know what you're going to hear. ESPN, 98.7 ESPN. We are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, you got me right now. In another week, you're going to have me at 11. You'll have me now on a regular basis, but not starting the show. Just stay with us. You'll figure it out. We'll get it all right. And once again, we'll just continue to crush it, no matter who's on. That's just how we do it here. All you need to know is this. You tune in here, and then you rip the knob off. There's no reason to change the channel. Leave it like that, all right? So that's all you need to know. Whoever's on, you know what's good. That's it. So don't complain or worry. Well, I don't know who's on. It doesn't matter who's on. We're on. We're on. No matter who it is on this team, you want to listen. And today, man, do we have some stuff to get to. And we've got a lot. And obviously, 800-919-3776 is the number to start that conversation and get involved. Yes, the buffet is open because this is going to be, ring the bell, a full week of old school Han Solo. Bart's doing the morning stuff, so he's on in the morning. You can catch him with Dave Rothenberg and eventually Rick DiPietro if they can ever get some internet to his house. Poor kid. So he's working in the mornings. We're not making him do a double. I've got Solo for a week like the old days, so we'll do that. So you're part of the conversation with me and anything you want to talk about in the world of sports, and I'll give you the headlines that I'm interested in and you know are news breaking. You can get us on Twitter at Bart and Han. You can also get us on Instagram as well. And we're going to hold off on the IG Live stuff because, again, we're going to confuse people. It's like,
we'll
wait,
do it live.
We're not doing it live. You just do it at 12:30. Now you're doing 11th. Trust me. We get to the 17th. We start fresh, 11-1. But right now, 12-3 for the rest of the week. So that's where we're at. Okay, all that's out of the way. College football season, which I know here in New York, unless you like to, you know, place your bets. College football is not really the biggest thing around here until Rutgers figures it out, gets it right. And Shiano, maybe he will get it right. So it's really not a huge story in New York, but it is because we follow sports here. And now there's reports. Now, hey, you got this going on. I was going to get up this morning. We'll have Paul Feinbaum on at the bottom of the hour, and he's going to get we'll get deeper into the impact on college and what this means going forward. But right now, this is where we're at. Because it's now being reported officially in the Detroit Free Press. We're still waiting for more coverage from us at ESPN on this. But we've had coverage that the Big Ten was going to meet today and have a vote. They thought maybe by tomorrow there'd be a decision. Well, the Free Press is saying that that decision's already been made. And out of the 14 schools, the presidents of the schools, 12 out of the 14 have voted to cancel the season. That's huge. Power 5 conference now shutting down football for this season. It's a major story. The only two schools to say they wanted to keep going, Iowa and Nebraska. That's according to the reports by the Free Press. So that's what you have going on right now. And this is, again, a major story that impacts sports on many different levels. First, now you wonder, what are the other Power 5s going to do? Where do they go from here? The SEC has been adamant. In fact, all the coaches, all the way up until like basically last week, were saying how much They need to have college football. I mean, it's America. You know, you remember all the coaches coming out and talking about how important college football is.
I'm a man. Yes. I'm 40.
That's right. We need football. We're just going to punch coronavirus in the face. Like, this is everything that we've been hearing, how important it is. But now that they're understanding that as we're sending our kids, those of us who have kids that go to college, sending them back to college campuses in the next couple of weeks, you're understanding that this is such a real thing right now. You've got kids that are going to be in their dorm rooms taking classes. That's a real thing. So how are you then going to have student athletes? I use that term loosely. How are you going to have these student athletes then showing up and practicing and then traveling to other schools? You're going to have anybody in these buildings at all? You're not selling tickets. This is, of course, they're telling you concerns about the virus and the pandemic and the right thing to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, and then Feinbaum will come on with us and at the bottom of the hour, and I guarantee you he has a lot to say about this topic. But this is a bunch of crap. This has nothing to do with the virus. All along, they've been wanting to play. In fact, some of them have been wanting to open their own stadiums. As you know, Ohio State has also talked about, 20% capacity, what they were hoping for, and now that's gone. So I think we all know what's going on here. And what's going on here has to do with what the athletes now are starting to do. Hashtag, we want to play. That's where this really starts to become an issue. Because what you're dealing with at this point is the NCAA and these conferences saying they're a little concerned about how much negative publicity that they have gotten about playing, about going forward. How much people have said, whoa, you have to play because of how much the revenue from football means to some of these schools. How much money it brings in to these schools, multi-millions of dollars that prop up the rest of the athletic department, if not some of the school itself. And you're telling me that now all of a sudden you're going to do the right thing for the players? That is absolutely not true. We have been killing the NCAA about this. Okay, so you need the players to play so you can fund your schools. Well, that makes the players professionals. That means now they're more than just students. They're now basically providing a service to the school. And you're telling me you're paying them back with a scholarship? Oh, they're going to school, but you need them to play to keep your school open. There's an imbalance there. And that's what they've been criticized by. So now it's like, well, the players then, if they have to play and go through this, they need to get some type of coverage. You've got to make sure. You have to understand. Hey, wait. They then should have protection. There should be some, and obviously they should be compensated. And so that becomes a bit of an issue. So now the NCAA then, you know, maybe we shouldn't play. Everybody go home. Yeah, you know, it's better we don't. Because we can't have people in the building. Like, this is affecting lots of people throughout this country. You know, these are hundreds of programs. The Power Five, there's 64 of them. So that's a lot of schools, a lot of stadiums, a lot of towns who every weekend will benefit from all the fans coming in, not to mention the TV money, all of it. I mean, this is lots of money we're talking about. And for the NCAA, and obviously for the Power Five schools, at least one right now, to turn around and say, nah, you know what, you're better off going home. It's not safe to play. So now the players are coming out and saying, oh, no, we want to play. We want to play. That's what they're saying right now. I mean, think about this, man. Like, this is absolutely a leverage. Leverage play, in my opinion. They now can turn around and say, oh, well, you know, the kids wanted to play. They came to us. They told us this is what they want. And so we're going to go ahead and play because that's what they want. And that now waives all liability, doesn't it? Now, all of a sudden, this is what the kids wanted. I'm telling you, this is not about COVID. This is not about the pandemic. This is not about concerns about their campus or anything else. They've been practicing this whole time. It's not about any of that. It's about the fact that they are seeing the players trying to come together and form whatever kind of college football players coalition, alliance, whatever you want to call it. You're starting to see tweets. Trevor Lawrence, obviously the biggest name in the sport. You're seeing several players coming out and tweeting about it using the hashtag, we want to play. And so if you're the schools now, you're thinking this is the last thing we want. 800-919-3776 is the number. There's so much to this that it's not as simple as you think. This is not something that you just say the schools are concerned and so they're deciding not to play. This goes way beyond that, way beyond it. Jim Harbaugh puts out a statement from Michigan after the news from the Big Ten. And that's, again, if you're just joining us, Detroit Free Press reporting, along with other places, that they have already voted. The presidents of the schools have voted 12-2 to not have a season. Harbaugh put out a statement saying, for this from Michigan coach, of course, I'd like to address the rumors swirling today. I'm not advocating for football this fall because of my passion or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus on June 13th. I'm advocating on August 10th that this virus can be controlled and handled because of these facts. He said the Michigan football program had 11 positive tests out of 893 administered. And three of them were upon initial return to campus. Two positive tests out of the 417 administered. Zero positives out of the last 353. Zero positives among coaches or staff over the entire 8 weeks of testing. There's been no contact tracing on our fields, weight room, locker room facility. Zero pauses in their training. Comply with all CDC guidelines, self-implemented stricter standards for contact tracing, quarantining to prevent the spread. So he's telling you that everything they've done and revealing all the testing they've done, it sounds like they have been very clean. They have had no issues there. Now, we know what's going on over at Rutgers. We saw that, and we've seen other places, and we've seen a lot of rumors about players who decide, and some coaches, which is that bizarre story out west. It's insane. Like, the players are like, well, if we all get it now, then we're good. And so you're having these COVID parties in the summer, which is just asinine. And then you have coaches who are also pushing that stuff as well, as we saw reports on that. So it's incredible. What Harbaugh's trying to reveal here is, say, if we do the right things, we can control this. But yet, do you trust everybody to do it? So you remember, Harbaugh was one that was speaking out about this. He said, we have developed a great prototype for how we can make this work and provide the opportunity for players to play. If you are transparent and follow the rules, this is how it can be done. He also said that we respect the challenge that the virus has presented. However, we will not cower from it. And that's a very typical coach speak, of course, on that level. Again, 800-919-3776. Now, there's more to this. And again, we'll dive deeper into the college aspect of this with Paul Feinbaum. There's a lot more to talk about with Paul about this on the college level. And we'll do that about in the hour. But on a general sports level, this is an opportunity, of course, if we do see across college football, they shut the whole thing down. Where it's not just the Big Ten, but the 12, the ACC, the PAC. It'd be unbelievable to see the SEC do it, but them as well. I mean, there's other levels to this as well, because Feinbaum has told us that he can see a future where some of these power fives just break away from the NCAA and have their own leagues. This could be an opportunity. So, again, plenty to get to with him on that stuff. But if you do remove college football, something Bart Scott has talked about on our show, is something now that immediately comes up. And that is opportunity for the NFL. Because now, what window suddenly opens for the NFL? Saturday. Even Friday night, if you think about it. Now, the NFL is not operating in a bubble. What are we learning from the NBA and the NHL? Zero positives. Zero. They have no issues going on in their bubbles. They've been in there for a couple of weeks now. No issues. None. Not trying to jinx it. Just saying. It's working. Playing in a bubble works. Now, you can say it's a lot easier because those are finishing seasons. They're going right into playoffs. They don't have salaries to talk about and everything else. You could say that. It's also a little more controlled because basketball teams are a lot smaller. Hockey teams also, you know, within 20 plus players. So it's a little bit easier to do. But are you telling me that for the NFL, that you have from Thursday, essentially now, a five-day weekend, if you want to call it that? Essentially, you could. Now, it's all hypothetical, of course. But if you're in the commissioner's office right now, if you're Roger Goodell, there should be on a whiteboard somewhere a plan that has that maybe the world will never know about and never see. But a bubble plan. There has to be. There has to be. It just makes sense. You have to brainstorm this stuff and have it as an option just in case. Right? An emergency break glass. Otherwise, nobody will even talk about it. That, to me, is something that should be out there, and you could do a bubble in the NFL. You absolutely could, because, number one, now you have all of these days that you can use to have games. Think about it. If you have games from Thursday to Monday, and you're including Saturday now as part of your schedule, because you don't have college football games to worry about, you don't have that respect where we're not going to take the weekend, we're not going to take the Saturday, that's college football. Well, that doesn't exist now. So now you could play a handful of games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And you could do it at four different locations, regionally set. Why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you have it where you do what baseball did and you make it regional matchups? Throw out this year's schedule. Oh, I know it's difficult, but once again, oh, it's a month away. You can start in October. They've already kicked that around anyway, and we know they already kicked around starting in October. But what would you rather have? The issues that baseball have without a bubble? Or would you rather have a season that you can play and finish and have all the TV revenue and basically every eye on you for five straight days? Five straight days. Because what happens in October, everybody? Hockey and basketball are done. Baseball almost finished. So October for football, it's your show again. It's all you. Five straight days. All you. Regional stadiums, plenty available. Nobody has to stay in the bubble. See, here's the point. You control the building, and then you have your teams stay at their facilities and work out there. So the teams can control their own bubbles. Then you get into your own private plane if it has to be, or even a bus if you're close enough. Go to the bubble city, play your game, and get out. You don't have to stay overnight, or it's limited stay. You don't have to worry about players going out like the Marlins and Cardinals and everybody else did. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Instead, you're in and out, and you go back to your bubble in your home city. And you play. And now you have no issues. You control it as best you can. That is something the NFL has to be, they have to be talking about it. But at least we can think that if Saturday is available, then Saturday can become an option for their schedule, which can loosen things up and make it a very interesting, almost a five-day weekend. Adam Schefter talked about it on Get Up this morning.
I think the most likely scenario, Greeny, is Saturdays, because Saturdays would be wide open and that would be a window that the NFL would have. And I think it would like to get past these other sports, the NHL, baseball, the NBA, the presidential election. Just see how things are going in its own sport with how the games are going on during a pandemic. And then there is a window of opportunity, and as you mentioned, there is built-in flexibility with the idea that fans don't have to worry about being in Lambeau Field at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday because there are no fans, and they don't have to worry about hotels in a certain city. So there's all sorts of flexibility that the NFL will have at its disposal to do the best thing for the league going forward.
It just makes sense. Even if it's just a schedule, you loosen it up a little bit, you open it up a little bit. You could change it up. Is it going to affect the players a little bit? Yeah, but again, you have time. You have time. It's early August. You're not playing a preseason. And everybody knows that it was always tentative that week one was going to start on week one. It was always tentative. Bart has brought that up many times, that he kept hearing that October is where a lot of players were expecting the season to start, that they still felt like there was going to be some time. Because they had to figure this out. You go through some practices. I mean, teams are just wearing helmets right now. No one's wearing pads yet. Pads are coming up later this week, next week. And then you'll start to see, once there's contact and impact, you'll start to see. Are players staying where they're supposed to be staying? Are they going out? I mean, this is what players do. Learn from the other sports. Learn from baseball. Learn from basketball. Learn from hockey. Learn from all of them. There are options. So the NFL, this will be interesting to see now if the NFL is right now just sitting in a room somewhere brainstorming if college football is out. Can we take advantage of the schedule? And then if we have now those 5 days to work with, could that allow us? Because it's impossible to do. If you're only playing on Sunday, you can't possibly play in a bubble. It's too many games. Fields will get destroyed. But if you have if you do a Thursday, Saturday, and then a Friday, Sunday, you have a day off in between to recondition the field. We've seen college football games being played on a Saturday, and the very next day, NFL games play. Most of the fields are turf at this point. Most of them are. I mean, some of them, they get chewed up a little bit, so you get that extra day in between. You try to work on it. Whatever it is, you find places that you can do this, preferably in domes. And you just control, you keep your players in controlled environments as best you can, and you think you have a great chance then to limit it. The NBA has showed us that, so has the NHL. 800-919-3776. Let's grab some calls here. Paul Feinbaum, again, will join us at 12:30. Nobody better to listen to than him on this topic, especially in the impact it'll have on college football, where we go from here. And also, like I said, I have that conspiracy theory. I think this has nothing to do with COVID. Nothing. This is the bigger fear they have is the players banding together and all the negative press they have taken about playing and how important it was for them to play. You saw what Harbaugh said. We can handle this. You know, they want to play. Deep down, they want to play. But they know that they have taken a beating on this, that they feel like, well, the players mean so much to your bottom line that you need to now reimburse these players. And players are starting to, like, get a voice now about this. They don't like any of this. Whoa. Unionizing? No, we don't want this. Now it's true. We're finally revealing. Pull back the curtain and you realize that these players are worth way more than their scholarships are because of what them on a field mean to our bottom line. These players on a field, what they mean to our bottom line is way beyond the value of the scholarship they're getting. That's a fact. And so now it becomes a real ugly situation. So you really want to do that? Or do you just say, how about we just dial it back and say, no, we're not going to play. We're not going to play. And then the players say, no, we want to play. Well, okay. I mean, they want to play. So now waive all liability because this is what they want. See how it works? Wag that dog, baby. Right now, there is a report, and I know we've heard this as a suggestion, but there is one newspaper, Detroit Free Press, reporting that the Big Ten has voted 12-2 to not have a season, not have a college season. That's the first of the Power Five. We'll see what the rest of them decide to do. Paul Feinbaum is the man to talk to about these things. That's why we reach out to him and ask him to join us about it. And he does right now. And Paul, thanks for giving us some time. I begin almost just stepping back and saying, I'm sure you're not surprised by this, but my feeling right away, and we've talked to you before about it, and that's why I feel this way, is this almost feels like it has nothing to do with the pandemic and more to do with concerns that they have taken so much negative press about pushing through and playing, and knowing that how important the players are to the bottom line tells me that there is an imbalance now that has been revealed between a scholarship and playing football to prop up a lot of these programs.
Well, there's no question. There was a call about a week and a half ago in the SEC on that. That it was a players, administrators, and the commissioner, and an administrator at one of the schools essentially told one of the players upon that being asked a question, why are you bringing students back during this pandemic? And the administrator said the only reason we're bringing students back is so we can have football. I don't mean to be overly cynical about college football. I've covered it my entire life, but it's all caught up. It's a fraudulent process run by really a corrupt organization called the NCAA that has no concern whatsoever about anything other than making billions of dollars. And it's just been a breakdown of the system. And I think the Big Ten with a new commissioner has decided, you know what, we're going to show a little bit of leadership here. We know this is not practical. And I've heard a lot of people say today, well, you know, it could be very dangerous. It's already been dangerous. This isn't the NBA where, you know, $200 million buys you an airtight bubble. We have a situation where on various campuses, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, just take your pick, there have already been 30, 40, 50 infections of COVID. And, yeah, I know everyone says big deal, young people, who cares? Well, a report came out over the weekend that it does have it could have an effect, especially it's a heart inflammation called myocarditis. And all of a sudden, the MAC said, the Mid-American Conference, we're not playing. And then the next thing you know, the Big Ten's found religion, and probably by the end of the week, so will a few others.
That's interesting. So you expect there won't be any college football then this season? That's what you sound like.
I don't think so, no. And I mean, it's a game right now. The Big Ten and then the Pac-12 will go next. And I'm having friends in the South tell me right now the SEC and the ACC are aligned now. How can you have two or three conferences play big-time college football and everyone else is home? I mean, you tell me the optics of that. They may try it. And that was really what the game was all along. Can we possibly get to September? We'll have a lot to deal with, but let's get there. And some of this is political. Depends on where you are. Depends on the state. The governor of Pennsylvania the other day said we shouldn't have sports in our state. The governor of Florida basically said today, hey, we need to have college football. So it's like watching the presidential election play out in the parlance of college sports.
You also have a senator from Nebraska who the reports are is one of the schools that voted to play, right? I think it was Iowa and Nebraska are the two schools I've seen reported. I don't know if you've heard the same. That want to play, and you have a senator now saying we have to play college football. I know we keep getting that response, of course, and it's never for any reason other than because this is America or any of that kind of stuff. Jim Harbaugh just put out a statement, and I don't know if you've seen it because I know you were just waiting on hold, but in it he outlines everything that they've done right at Michigan to keep this under control, and even though his school voted to not play, he spoke pretty, not defiantly, but seemed pretty strong about how we can handle this and that we have proven it because we have zero positives since people have come into, come in. Our last, I think it was 300 tests have been zero. And so therefore, he feels like we can do this if we just follow protocols.
And I have no problem with any of that. Here's the problem. Everyone has a different constituency. You have Harbaugh's playing to his team. He's playing to future recruits. He knows it's over. You have the president of the university, who, by the way, is an infectious disease doctor. He said a couple of months ago, the president of Michigan, that if we don't have college students on campus, we're not having football. Another Big Ten president at Michigan State is an immunologist. So these are people that understand it better than, honestly, Jim Harbaugh. So you're going to see a lot of posturing today. And, it's interesting that a week ago, this players' movement began out on the West Coast. The Pac-12 players said, we want some demands. And it worked its way across the country. And everyone's tweeting. Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson All-American, is leading the parade. But in the end, that's not going to matter. I think the biggest issue is not only a safety issue, it's a liability issue. Can you really afford to have college football? And what I mean by that is, what happens if somebody dies? We saw this with the CTE issue in the NFL. But the NFL can afford to fight. College athletics can't. Every university is its own fiefdom. And, you think Rutgers wants to deal with a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit? No, they don't. And also in the Big Ten, why are they first? I think six of the 14 schools have already shut down, so it's hit them harder. And they've been more practical. Clemson had 38 cases at one time. Yeah. They didn't even shut down voluntary workouts.
Yeah, and the suggestion there was some of them were purposely trying to get it, right? I know that was something going on at Rutgers as well.
Yeah, I believe that's true. I mean, I've talked to people in various schools who said, if we can get everybody infected, we have a competitive advantage once the season starts.
That's it's I almost feel like it's a microcosm of the country right now, but that's another topic altogether. Something you did mention, though, just a few minutes ago, and we're talking with Paul Feinbaum, is you said how the SEC and ACC, so the Southern conferences, are still sort of maybe aligned, that you're hearing that they still feel like they can play, and how could they possibly do it? Last time we talked, I believe it was the last time, you did suggest that at some point you could see these conferences breaking away from the NCAA and forming their own league or however you would put it, association. Is this something that might be accelerated as a result? They might say, you just said, how can you afford to play? We know some of these schools can't afford not to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's a catch-22. And I do think the NCAA, as we know it, is probably on its last leg, because there is no leadership. The president, Mark Emmert, has not really said anything because he works for the college commissioners. And, you know, we all love our jobs, and he loves his in particular because he makes $3 million a year to basically do nothing. And, I'll take that gig right now.
Yeah.
So it isn't, but ultimately what you said a minute ago is the truest statement. This is a microcosm of the country. It's a totally screwed up country right now. And I had an epidemiologist tell me the other day, if we could just shut everything down for 4 weeks, we could have college football. We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have to worry about the NFL. We wouldn't be having these issues in Major League Baseball. But have you seen any signs of the country shutting down?
No. No, and it's the same defiance that you hear from, whether it's, Dabo Swinney saying, we storm Normandy, we make iPhones, we can handle this, punch it right in the face is one of the other quotes that I absolutely shook my head when I heard that one. It's college coach speak. We all know this is what you do. You get your players riled up. They want to run through a brick wall, but, not sure I want to run through a wall if it's infected with, COVID-19, to be honest with you. But still, it's in such an interesting place because of what you said, though, how it's already a house of cards, this whole college sports thing as it is. And to understand, though, I cannot believe how much these, especially the football programs, mean to not the athletic departments, but the entire structure of the school itself. And then you think about the towns and the people that come in on a Friday night and then all day Saturday for these games. We all know about the media money. We certainly know about the gambling money that's to be lost now. These are hundreds of games that people won't be gambling on for the rest of the season. There's so much at stake here that it's just, I can't fathom it, right? I can't fathom that they don't have an idea. So is it even remotely possible that you look at what the NBA is doing, what the NHL is doing in bubbles, and just say, why can't you just do that? In some way, can you not do that? Because I think that's what Harbaugh was trying to suggest in his statement.
Yeah, and it's too late for that now.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, the three academies in Notre Dame all had a bubble and it worked. But yeah, there are the big schools can afford it, but yeah, the schools in the middle, the Miami of Ohio, Bowling Green, I mean, these are good football programs. They couldn't afford it, and that's really what did Connecticut in the other day. Here's another thing that scares college administrators to death. Let's say the season is canceled at the end of the week. Over on Park Avenue, the NFL is already plotting to move games. They're going to play on Saturday night in prime time because there won't be anything. I mean, they may even move in other slots because they already play Thursday night. Because by the time we get to the middle of October, baseball will be in its final days. It may already have been. The NBA is over. There's nothing left. So the NFL is going to own the television viewer like it's never done before. Right. And by the way, they already do. They may even add Saturday afternoon, a late window, a game that starts at 3:30.
I'm telling you, you're literally reiterating what I said in the open. I feel like for the NFL, you could take this now and turn it into a 5-day weekend, so to speak, where you go from Thursday to Monday, and you could play. You could even do double headers on most of these. And I also thought that they could turn it into a bubble situation because you do Thursday, Saturday in one place. And Friday, Sunday in another, four locations regionally, and have teams just fly in and out and stay in a controlled environment. But as you said, it's too late for a lot of things. And I imagine for the NFL, you'd have to have something like this already mapped out before you can even think to unveil it. But there is opportunity there for the pro game. But how much, how much are they ready for it is the question.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL has been surprisingly quiet about a lot of this because, MLB is just has dominated the news in terms of bad news. So,
yeah, but not to do it, right?
That won't matter, though. I mean, because I just don't – I mean, this whole thing is a house of cards, as you said. And the next day or two will be fascinating because I just don't think if you're the last two commissioners standing, how do you explain why it's why do you think it's okay when nobody else does? I mean, it's virtually impossible for that game to go on very long.
All right, last thing for you, Paul, and thanks for the time. I know it's a busy day for you. The possibility of a spring football season, which I know has been kicked around by a lot of people.
It's possible in some places. I think the Ivy League can get away with it. The MAC can get away with it. The Patriot. But I have a hard time believing the Big Ten and the SEC and the other Power Five are going to play in the spring. Now, the only thing the next question I don't have the answer to, what happens to college basketball?
The season usually begins
in November. It won't begin early, but I mean, no. If they can get college basketball started by January, the only thing that matters in college basketball is March Madness.
Yep.
It's a 3-week billion-dollar enterprise. So that's going to be going on right in the middle of the spring league. I promise you, I love college football, but on the second weekend of the tournament, I'm watching that over some meaningless Big Ten game between Rutgers and Maryland.
Well, that part is true, and all you have to do with college basketball is eliminate all the meaningless preseason tournaments and stuff anyway. I mean, there's a lot of useless games that go on in November. No offense to ESPN's schedule, of course, but that you really can't get too excited about until maybe you get to the holiday season and go forward. They could get away with it. I already know that my son plays hockey, so I know that the hockey season probably won't see the light of day until 2021 if they get to play that. So I imagine the winter sports that way. But if this is, and I know I said last one, but because there's so much to this, recruiting. Players who have 1 year left of eligibility, players who redshirt this year, like all that stuff to me, there's so much that they have to then unpack and figure out and rule on before you even think about playing next fall. I should even think in the summer, because how many kids, well, do I go to the NFL now? I'm not going to be a high draft pick, but if I stay one more year, I could be a higher draft pick. But you have that. You have a player who accepted a scholarship, wants to come in next fall, but now you've got a guy that, does he stay? Do I lose my year of eligibility because we didn't play this year? You only have so many scholarships to give out. You've got tough decisions to make now. There's so much more to this if you don't have a season, correct?
Yeah, and there hasn't been a lot of thought to it. Every time I ask an administrator or an official what happens if, they all say the same thing. We don't want to think about it. Just like people ask me. I have a national college football show every day. What are you going to talk about on September 1st if there's no college football season? I really don't want to think about that either.
We've been doing that for 4 months here.
but the good part is what we've been doing is we've been leading toward a season. And now college football, if it dies, we're still 13 months away from the first game. That is forever.
It's a scary thought, but it's certainly something that we've got to keep our eyes on. And, Paul, again, thanks for the time today and obviously for the insight. Great to talk to you.
Alan, my pleasure. Talk soon.
Got to acknowledge, we had one show last week on a Thursday, happy my son's birthday, Zach. And so I wish Zach his happy birthday because he turned 18. It's like a big milestone kind of birthday. And I felt bad because I can say it now. So Bart and I did a show together for the first time in like 20 weeks. And it wasn't in the studio. It was in Anthony Pusick's basement. His parents' house, because they had Wi-Fi and power actually last week, which was nice. And so they have a nice setup. It's really nice. And I'd never acknowledge that it was Anthony's 19th birthday. I think he's 19. Like he barely 20. I can't possibly be 20. Apparently he graduated from Fordham at the age of 16. It's one wonder kid, one of those types. So wanted to make sure though that I did wish now a belated happy birthday to Anthony Pusick, who does all of the work. I mean, Winthrop basically just sits, in his ivory tower looking down, telling everybody what to do. Doesn't really do anything. While Anthony is like an octopus in the studio, just answering calls. Like, you hear his voice when you call into the show. That's Anthony. You're dealing with him. And then he's got to tweet stuff, and he's got to make podcasts. The guy does everything. He works so hard. And he's a Ranger fan, so I don't hold that against him. But, you know, they're done playing. We'll get into the Islanders, I promise. 800-919-3776. Audiophiles will be at the top of the hour here. And we'll go around some world of sports, get into some other things other than the college football story that right now is just shaking sports. Despite the fact that you're seeing pushback. Feinbaum said the SEC, ACC are still sort of staying aligned, but he imagines by the end of the week, all five of the Power Five will be out. And boy, that'll be something for that sport. But for the NFL, huge opportunity. Let's get some calls. Let's go to Austin and Elizabeth. Start us off, Austin.
How you doing, Alan?
What's up?
I have a suggestion for the NFL to kind of do a modified bubble. So both teams go to whatever city that they're going to play at. They get there on a Tuesday. And then they're locked down until the game starts. And they have their meetings, they have their practices, everything.
Where?
There at whatever site that they're at. So if a team was playing in New York, both teams are locked down in New York at a hotel, and they have a practice facility wherever they're going to practice at. They do it there.
I got to be honest with you. Austin, I got to be honest with you. Thanks for the call. That's too many moving parts. Now I got a hotel, and they're in that hotel, and I got to tell them that after you spend the day practicing, oh, by the way, I know you're in New York. Don't go out. Come on. I mean, again, what did the Marlins do? Even though Jeter won't let you know what they did. You know what they did. I can't. TMZ found out about Cespedes, didn't they? I'm still waiting to hear about the Marlins. We already know the Cardinals broke some rules. All right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like that's one. You got. I think my idea is simple. You stay in your facility. You go. It's regional bubbles so that you're not traveling far. And you hope in most cases you only play regional schedule. So you're not going out to the West Coast to play West Coast. No, none of that. You stay right in your region like baseball's doing, and you're in and out. You play your game, you go back, and you're in your facility, and that's it. It's the only way to do it. Let's go to Doug in Harlem. Doug.
Hey, it's Derek in Harlem.
How you doing? Oh, Derek, what's up, man?
Two things. You know, today, right?
Your signal's rough right now. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Give me a call back, because I got to hear you better than that. I'm not sure what you're saying. Noel in New Jersey, Noel.
Hey, Alan. Pleasure to speak with you. Good luck with all the changes at ESPN. Listen, man, I'm a former Division I college athlete, small school. I played at Northeastern. Yep. I graduated in 2001. Okay. And I did my college thesis on the amateur offset of college sports. It's not an amateur sport. And this pandemic is really bringing a light to the business aspect of college sports at a minimal, and I don't want to get into the whole, thesis of what I wrote, but you make it a profit share and you incentivize the kid to get his education by 25. And if he wants to get his master's, he can get it by 25. And you give him a profit share at the age of 25 with the inkling that you have to graduate, right? And that's how you can really make this happen. You don't give an 18-year-old kid $250,000 or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, this has to stop. The NCAA, like Paul said, is the biggest set of crooks that's out there. They've been doing this for centuries.
Yeah, right?
It has to stop.
Appreciate it, Noel. That's good insight. It's absolutely right. This might be what changes everything, you hope. But whatever's going on right now, I'm telling you right now, it has nothing to do with COVID. This all has to do with money.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.